Cameroon. That's where the accent is from. So what I'm talking about today is about my home country. I began work on this as a PhD student, and I've continued since. And this is actually some of the early work. Some of the work that I've done subsequent to this was presented earlier today in the other global section, health section. If you listen to news, we all know what the HIV/AIDS pandemic is doing at this time, and still we're a long way from figuring out a way to solve this problem, so it's affecting the globe. In sub-Saharan Africa, it was, I'm sure most of us are aware of that, there's a disproportionate burden. Sub-Saharan Africa is home to about 10% of the world's population, but probably has more than 60% of the burden in terms of infected people with HIV or AIDS. In this region, it's primarily a heterosexual disease, unlike maybe in some parts of the world. And less than 20% of those that need antiviral therapy actually get it. And we get a lot of talk in the news about multiple organizations that are working very hard, foundations and non-governmental organizations that are working very hard to make drugs accessible by reducing prices or even offering them for free. But up to now, less than 20%. The most recent numbers say about 17% of those that need it get it. So that means primary prevention still remains one of the major ways in which we can try to curb the epidemic. In Cameroon, which is where my work focuses on, one in four adolescents is estimated to be at risk for HIV. Young females are at greatest risk, and some data indicates that young females might be at 10 times more likely to be infected than their male counterparts. And some of the reasons for this is that the females tend to engage in sexual activity at a very early age, and with males that are much older who probably have already been infected. Little is known about strategies that can reduce vulnerability, and that is why I got interested in this. Just looking over the years, prior to 1988, HIV was basically non-existent in Cameroon. It was under 1%, and since then it's been increasing. Now it appears to be leveling off, but what this prevalence data does not reflect is the number of people dying. So the number of people that die from the disease kind of hide the increase in new infections, because really what we get is prevalence rates. It's hard to get incidence rates. People don't get routinely tested, so it's hard to know what the new infections are. So this kind of obscures the picture, because a lot of people die from it. Again, many people don't get the therapy that they need. So lack of effective interventions among people with a great need is the problem. And it is very important to focus on young females because of the potential. We know that if we educate a young woman, we educate a village. At least that's what we think. And young females, if we are able to reduce infections even in a few number of young females, that is going to affect their future partners, it's going to affect their children, and it's going to affect the economy. Usually the AIDS setting at an age where people are most productive. There's data that indicates, in terms of the economic impact, that some companies would hire four people for a job, and with the hopes that by the time they get through training, one person will actually survive to take the job. So if you really think about that, this is serious at many, many different levels. This work that is being presented was a pilot, and this was the initial phase where we were looking at the appropriateness as well as the effectiveness of a culturally tailored curriculum that was based on a 1994 World Health Organization curriculum. what we did was we worked with healthcare experts and education experts in Cameroon, because the work was school-based. We worked with them to adapt the program to be age appropriate and culturally appropriate. And obviously, with that being my background also, I was influential in trying to link people here and people in Cameroon. So we adapted that, and then this was a pilot of that. In terms of the objectives at that phase, we're looking at the feasibility, just knowing would people be even interested in something like this? Would parents allow their kids? Because this was focusing on 10 to 12-year-olds, very young kids. Was the intervention appropriate? Was the measures that we were using adequate? And was the intervention effective? At least getting some preliminary data about the effectiveness. In Cameroon, the literature about interventions is very limited. There are many ongoing surveillance studies from many organizations, international organizations and national organizations. And basically what this reveals is that the behaviors that are associated with HIV are very complex, and we require a multi-level, multi-faceted approach to address this. There are no simple solutions, there are no simple answers. And a lot of this comes from descriptive studies that have been done. In terms of interventions, a lot have been done in developed countries with primarily slightly older populations, but there's very little on pre-adolescents, 10 to 12-year-olds. And specifically in Cameroon, only this group of researchers have done work that includes some pre-adolescents. They were not focusing on pre-adolescents, but they included some of them. And it's social marketing campaigns, basically promoting condom use, is what this were about. The study was based on the theory of planned behavior, because you can adapt this, at least what we thought, we can adapt this theory to reflect the culture, and it does include normative beliefs in here. So that's what we based it on. We'll talk a little bit more. It was a quasi-experimental design that we used during this initial evaluation. It was one group post-test, pre-test post-test design, again 10 to 12-year-old females in one primary school. And we had to get consent at multiple levels. From the school authorities, from parents, and then the students also get access to participate. And interestingly enough, the parents were very willing. While they hesitate to talk about this with their kids, they are very willing if they think somebody can do it. So we have 100% in terms of acceptance for parents with their kids to participate. Nobody said no that we approached. The content, again, was based on a World Health Organization curriculum, and the theme was adopted from GEMOD, and GEMOD, they have done a lot of work in this country, and they are also moving into South Africa, a lot of work in HIV prevention among youth. So we borrowed their theme, which basically says, be proud, be strong, act responsibly for your future. Basically, that's what it says. And the intervention was on the antecedent of the theory of planned behavior that I showed briefly. And some of the things that were included in the intervention included a transmission, body knowledge, HIV transmission information, life mapping, where do you picture yourself in 5 years, what types of things would disturb that, and what types of things will help, looking at attitudes, looking at norms, looking at assertive communication, and also looking at recognizing and dealing with threats of violence. A lot of the young females are enticed into sex in many different ways. Some of it is economic, and some of it obviously is some form of coercion or even violence. So that was also addressed in this intervention. And it was very interactive, looking at the age of these kids. That is what is recommended, do something interactive rather than a lecture type thing. So that is what we did. A lot of role plays and small group discussions. In terms of I've already talked about 100% willingness of parents to allow their kids to participate. So that was pleasing to us because we then knew we could recruit larger samples. 75% of all the kids considered all aspects of the study appropriate. Now, there were some of them that were uncomfortable about the word sex. Some of them were uncomfortable about some of the discussion or talking in front of their friends about this type of topics. There were people like that. But overall, they were very pleased with it and actively participated in the exercises. In terms of the evaluation, we used primarily two scales: intention to postpone sexual activity scale, which has been used in the past in multiple countries, and it had good reliability and validity, and the sexual abstinence behavior scale, which was okay but didn't quite behave the way we thought it was going to behave in this population. So what I presented earlier today was some further work on these scales in this population. In terms of just looking at the effectiveness and being aware that this might not speak to anything long term or in terms of application, being a one group pre-test, post-test test type of intervention, the data look good. the post intervention scores were significantly better than pre-intervention, and what we used here is exact pair statistics using just this data, not using any classic model where we had to think about normality and things like all those assumptions. This model uses the data to create a model on which the data is tested. So it's based strictly on this data. We're not making assumptions about populations that this might not reflect. And with abstinence behaviors, we also had increases in terms of post-intervention scores. We had moderate effect sizes and narrow confidence intervals that were comparable to studies that have been done with larger populations. And also looking at clinical significance, an approach that appears to fit this type of work is the cost-benefit ratio, looking at the cumulative effect of decreasing incidence in even one female student in terms of future spouse, children, and the effect on the economy. And also, eventually, we hope to sell this to the government. It's a government-run healthcare system, so the burden in terms of economic burden of the disease also falls on the government. So if they can put up a few dollars before people get sick, there might be some cost savings in that. So, in terms of implications, practical lessons, I'm from Cameroon, but just practical lessons in terms of international research, how long everything takes and how many levels of approvals you have to go through, that then helps us with subsequent studies. Even how to organize the kids in rooms so they are not playing all the time instead of participating in activities, those were helpful. But basically, this has just opened up, if you will, a can of worms in terms of the multiple areas that we can go into, because it just raised so many different questions. Evaluation of the measures, which we've already done with a larger sample, looking at randomized trials at some level, looking at sustainability issues, would this type of intervention, would the effects be sustained, and looking at it with heterogeneous samples. Just so you know, the instruments didn't perform as well when we had a really large heterogeneous sample, so it looks like it's more of a female instrument. I don't know. We don't know at this point. When we included males, a sample males, it didn't do as well. Also, training of facilitators. This work cannot be done by one person or two people. We need to train a lot of facilitators. Like somebody talked about training of trainers. That type of work is highly needed here. There's data about in sub-Saharan Africa about people coming in from here doing it, training a few people to do interventions, and because the people that are trained are not comfortable with the topics, they don't do all of the modules as intended, and obviously we don't know, the results are not as good as if they did everything. So that is an area of great need also at this point. If this work continues to be fruitful in terms of effects, then it will be a basis for like a nationwide school-based program that can be used. And we understand the nature of this needed being part of a multifaceted approach, and there are countries in Africa that have successfully kept HIV rates down using multifaceted approaches, like Senegal, for example. And obviously policy, some type of political action will be needed here to even implement a program nationwide. You need some kind of political action because of the centralized nature of the government. And there are limitations to what I just reported, being a one-group pre-test, post-test, test quasi experimental study. There was a flaw effect in the instrument, and the reliability and validity of some of them was not so great. And again, being a small sample, there were threats to external validity in terms of trying to generalize this to anybody. And HIV/AIDS remains a serious threat to Cameroonian youth, and this is definitely a beginning of work that needs to be done, and we hope to continue expanding.